Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Thank you. Greetings and welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I am Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe McGranahan, his honor, Mayor of Shamokin Dam, is across from me. He's our co-host. He's just a good conservative, a natural-born listener, though, on our show. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check him out at sunburymotors.com. We will take calls on the second half of this half hour, and that number will be 1-800-795-9565. You are welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. We have a political candidate back in our studios. Claire Moyer is here, born and raised in Lewisburg. Used to play football in the fields behind Bucknell. Claire, explain what playing football in the fields behind Bucknell entailed.
Well, there was a group of us that would always get together on the weekends and play our own little game of football. And it was just as bad as playing if we played on the team. We tackled. We did all the things that the real football players do, so to speak. It was an enjoyment that we had, and it's what we did on the weekends. And it was up here at Bucknell. Now there's a huge building there, so the field that we played on is no longer there.
Well, you are a write-in candidate for 85th District, the State House special election that is next to Tuesday is the election. So you're a write-in candidate. Tell us about your candidacy. You've already been on Sunrise, so you answered a few questions there. Now we have 30 minutes carved out, so about 25, really. Tell us more about your candidacy and more about yourself, please.
And are you a Republican or a Democrat running?
Well, I'm a registered Republican, but I have to run as an independent for this special election. When Fred vacated the post and went into the congressional seat, I contacted Fred to ask him who I needed to contact in order to be a candidate for the seat. He gave me the name of the gentleman in Harrisburg who I called, and he registered me, and then he sent me the paperwork that I needed along with the list of conferees for the conference. And at their recommendation, he said it would be best to go ahead and contact all the conferees, which I did. I sat down and I called all of them. Those that I got to talk to expressed that they had already decided who they were going to vote for. Those that I couldn't get a hold of, I sat down and compiled a list for email addresses and sent emails out to all of them expressing what my platform was, where my web page was, and that I'd appreciate if I had their support. Some responded back, basically got the same answer, that they had already decided who they were going to vote for. So I just moved forward from there. I went ahead and attended the conference. Before I got to the conference, I did meet with three individuals from the RNC from Harrisburg, and they explained that for me to be considered a candidate, I had to have someone from the conference make a motion for me to be included. Now, I'd asked different ones, and of course, they said they already have decided who they were going to vote for, and it wouldn't make any sense for them to try to support me. So I went to the conference anyways, and I obviously didn't get a motion, myself or Mr. Darwin Swope. So we had to step out. We were done. We couldn't go any further. And that night, I looked at the three individuals who came up to meet with me from Harrisburg. They were there. They were alongside of me. And I looked at them, and I told them, I said, well, I'm going to head off to Mass, but I just want you to know that this isn't over. The battle's only just begun.
So you weren't even given a chance to speak to the conferees
No.
before the vote was taken? Was
No.
Mr. Rank given a chance to speak?
No.
So,
oh, yeah, Mr. Rank did. Mr. Rank and Mr. Rowe both
Mr.
did.
Mr. Rowe both got a chance to speak. But the other two candidates were not accorded that opportunity because no one would make a motion
That's correct.
To nominate them. It would seem to me like if you're going to be fair about this thing, you would hear everybody speak, and then you would entertain motions.
Well, you would think.
Well, the goal wasn't to be fair, though. It was just to select somebody to that, you know, the sort of the anointed individual to be the party carrier of the torch, right?
Well, when that happened that night, I just thought to myself, you know, the people really aren't, when they go to the polls on the 20th, they're not really choosing their candidate. They are simply ratifying the candidate that a small handful of people chose they wanted to be that individual. I don't find that to be fair.
All right, so this is the party's conferee process, supposedly by some bylaws. I haven't seen them, but they supposedly exist, and they have these rules in them. But this is just for one individual to serve for 1 year. You could mount the campaign of the century next year, run for the office, you know, and take the office back the traditional way.
I could, and that may be a decision I'll make afterwards. I've had some discussions on that, and right now, at this point, I would not be considering that, but that doesn't mean I wouldn't change my mind. What would possibly change my mind is after the election, to see what the key elements were that people would not have voted for me, and then that would give me to make my decision. I know that people talk about my age. Why would I be doing this at my age? I'm not one to sit around. I just don't sit around. I got to keep active. I drive school bus part-time. The parents, we get along so well. It's not like if I lose this, I'm not going to be able to do something, because I'll still be able to go drive the kids to and from school. And I enjoy doing that. I don't say I don't, but I've thought about these things before to get involved. To step up to the plate, I know it's a tremendous challenge. I know what I'm up against, and that's okay. But like I said, we'll see. If the age is the issue, then I'd say best not to even attempt. But if it's not the issue, then certainly I might reconsider. Who knows?
Well, your opponent says you're just a stalking horse, if you will, that you're just out there. You've run before for almost everything but the kitchen sink. And now here you are running again, primarily to try and take votes away from the Republican candidate, the anointed Republican candidate.
Let me elaborate on that. I'm going to take a little liberties here.
Okay.
We're going to give you this minute back, all right? So here's an excerpt of last week's program. Actually, scratch that. I'm not going to play that right now. I'll play it after our commercials. So let's take a quick break here. We're going to play a one-minute excerpt of David Rose's appearance on our show, and we'll be right back.
A lot of things will change over the next 6 years, but not the interest rate on your new Kia. In 2025, you'll still be at 0%.
We wanna see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
In fact, your interest rate will stay at 0% for more than 6 years. 75 months. Come into Sunbury Motors Kia now for 0% financing for up to 75 months on select 2019 Kia Optimas, Sportages, Cadenzas, Sedonas, and the 2019 Kia Sorento.
Great for getting you through the Central PA terrain.
See for yourself why Kia offers America's best value with an industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Hurry into Sunbury Motors Kia now to get 0% financing for up to 75 months. These rates won't last past the end of the month, so get in today. Value is back. At Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf.
Offers available to qualified buyers through KMF financing in lieu of rebate. That expires C31-19. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty.
WKOK News Time, it is 8:41. We're enjoying a conversation with Claire Moyer. We're going to take the phones off of hold, so if anybody has a question for him, they can call in 1-800-795-9565. We're about to allow Claire to answer Joe's question. And here's an excerpt of David Rose's appearance last week when he talked about why Claire is running.
Claire is a perennial candidate, and we have to remember that he also ran a write-in candidacy for president of the United States in 2012. So he runs fairly often. It's also worth noting that, as the Standard Journal just reported, his campaign manager, Chip Thacka, is a well-known local liberal activist. He used to drive around in a big truck that said "Screw Trump" on it. So these are the kind of people that are propping up Claire Moyer's campaign, and it really is disheartening to see the local Democrats taking advantage of this elderly war veteran just to prop up their own political advantage.
So he can't think for himself. Chip is sort of manipulating him.
They absolutely are. If you listen to some of their podcasts, there's absolutely a manipulation there, and they're just using him to try to siphon votes away. It's really disappointing.
And so. Chip, so citizens who get active and run for office are bad.
Not at all. But I think when we look at the people who are propping up his campaign, it's disappointing to see them being, you know, members that have formally supported Jen Rager Kaye and presumably still are. And we just sort of see a political game being played with this well-intentioned gentleman.
Well, still able to sit up and take nourishment on his own is Claire Moyer, who's here. Your response to that? You elderly war veteran that you are.
Yeah, well, I'm not in a wheelchair yet, and I don't walk around with a cane, so... First, let me be clear that the Democratic Party did not entice me, nor did they have anything to do with my decision to run as a write-in candidate. This was a decision that was solely made on my own, based on what occurred at the conference that night. Yes, I contacted my longtime friend. We've been friends for a long time. And yeah, he did happen to be a Democrat. He's paid a price for helping me out, and I'll never forget that. But
you're talking about your friend Chip Facker, right?
Yes.
So you decided to run, then summoned your friend, because he certainly understands the process here. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, I knew that he could set me in the right direction to make sure that I'm doing this right and not going down a path blindly. He's had a long history of experience in the political field, so I said I'd contact him and rely on his expertise.
Now Chip's taking advantage of you?
Nope. He's not taking advantage of me.
Not manipulating you?
Nope.
Not propping you up?
Not
nope.
Putting words in your mouth?
Yeah, he's propping me up. I mean, yeah, he's my moral support. I talk to him about the issues. I talk to him about things that I want to do. And he gives me guidance and direction on am I going in the correct way? Am I down the right path? And I respect that help. So, you know, when they had the coffee with the candidates up at the winery, I was flabbergasted that Mr. Rowe made a derogatory comment about the League of Women Voters, which I felt was totally out of place. I can't recite exactly what it was that he said, but he didn't give the League of Women Voters due credit. These are hardworking people, and they do what they can the best to support, not support the candidates, but get the information of the candidates out there. So for Mr. Rowe, the only thing I say to him, little boy, if you want to make some kind of a derogatory remark to me, say it to my face. I can at least teach you some respect.
Well, Mr. Rowe does have an interesting point. The fact that you are running, you are a registered Republican, you are fairly well known among Republican circles in Union County and Snyder County, too, for that matter. Your candidacy seems to be, especially since you have a Democrat helping you in your campaign, designed to draw votes away from the Republican anointed candidate for whatever reason. Does that make you at all uneasy as a Republican?
No, because I'm in this thing to win, not to take votes from somebody.
Well, let's say you have a rough road ahead of you as a write-in candidate. It's not easy. If Claire Moyer can't win, who would you like to see win?
I'm not going to go just straight 100% party because I don't want that divide between party lines. And I think that Chip and I being together illustrate that we can take down the barriers and communicate with each other. And that's what I want to see happen with the individual who is put into this seat. If that is the Democrat candidate, fine, so be it. If it's the Republican candidate, fine, so be it. I will take the loss. That's no problem.
So are you saying that if it's not you, you don't care who wins?
It really doesn't matter. I mean, people get to choose who they want. And I don't feel that the people are truly getting to vote on who they want in there. Because the choice was made by a handful of people in both parties. That individual has been set. All the people have to do now is go to the poll and ratify who the parties selected. If the individuals select vote straight party line, then those are the parties that are going to get it, and I won't stand a chance.
If elected, if elected, what are the jobs and the mission of you in Harrisburg? Describe State Representative Claire Moyer.
Well, first of all, it's a full-time job. It's not something that you just take lightly. I believe in listening to the people. My doors will always be open. I want the people to come and talk to me about their concerns and their issues. I ask that if they do, to get a starting point and a focal point, tell me what you think your solution is, and then we can go from there.
Well, Mr. Rowe made a point of the fact that he would stay in office as long as the voters would be willing to elect him. Now, I can say this to you because I gather we're pretty much contemporaries age-wise. you're not able to make that kind of claim, are you?
Oh, sure. Why can't I?
Okay, well.
My health is quite well. I go to the gym regularly to keep myself healthy. I stay active. I'm not one that just sits around, and I keep on top of the issues. So.
Now, you are aged, old, mature, senior, ancient, and venerable. That's elderly, right?
Where did you get that?
That's Wikipedia's definition of elderly. Aged, old, mature, well, that, you're okay, that's not too far off. Ancient and venerable. I mean, the word, we don't use the word elderly around here. This was Joe's policy 30 years ago because it implies a certain level of frailty. That right. Maybe it may apply to somebody, but we wouldn't use an adjective about somebody that we didn't know.
We'd let people make their own decisions about what elderly is.
I think Wikipedia left something off of there.
What's that?
With age comes wisdom.
Right. Okay. Wise. U.S. military background, you were in the Army?
Navy.
Okay. You're in the Navy. Some people like to make age a factor. What is? What's the number that goes with your age?
73.
73, okay. So, and that's younger than you, Joe.
Yes,
and
it's 3 years younger than me.
Joe's still able to get around satisfactorily.
Well, so. I have days.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he makes old man sounds all the time around here. We're not quite sure what's happening there. But in any event, okay. Back to the issues, really. I think this is important. Let's give the voters really something to chew on here if they're going to write your name on. Second Amendment, changes in gun laws that would make us safer, anything along those lines that come to mind for you?
Well, you know, I researched the gun law issues to see how many laws that are on the books now. You can't get a definitive number, but the number that I found the most that comes up is 20,000 gun laws. That's federal and state gun laws. I had to ask myself, if we had that many gun laws already on the books, they apparently aren't working. Is one more gun law going to make it work?
To sort of enforce existing gun laws, perhaps?
Well, to enforce the existing gun laws, but if I fall back on my faith and my religion, you know, we have the Sixth Commandment that says, "Thou shalt not kill." I think that's pretty simple and explains it in a nutshell. The individual themselves has to be responsible for their actions, and many times we don't hold the individuals responsible for their actions. So we have to figure out some way of perhaps changing people themselves. We've pulled away so much from religion and faith and God, and when we had those times, we didn't have some of these issues. And I strongly feel that we need to get back to that.
Well, your Democratic opponent is very staunch with right for a woman to choose. Where do you come down on the side of the right to life issue?
Well, I'm pro-life. I don't think any life should be abandoned. Again, it goes back to the Sixth Amendment. If I was to say that I supported pro-choice to any degree, I would support it at preconception, but I will not support it at post-conception.
Well, that's a good point. And I know you have some very strong opinions about property tax reform. Would you care to tell us how you feel about that?
Yeah, that's been a thorn in my side for years. Probably 6-7 years ago, it's been that I created a webpage called patag.org fighting this property tax reform. To me, a person never really owns their property. You can pay off your debt that you acquired in order to pay someone else for the property you bought. But if you never pay your taxes, the government's going to come and take it from you. And I don't think they have the right to do that. I want to be able to own my property and not have to worry about property taxes. If we want property taxes, then nobody should be exempt from it. None of the educational system should be exempt. Religious facilities should not be exempt. Prison facilities should not be exempt. They should all pay into the tax, which helps to reduce the burden against the individual. The individuals are picking up that lack of revenue from those who are exempt. And realistically, why should a select group of people pay for the social services such as our public school systems and whatever the local community governments do, and everybody else receives a benefit from it? I'd replace that with a sales tax. Now, yeah, a lot of people say, well, that would hurt the poor the most. Not really, because everybody pays the same fair share. If somebody wants to go buy a yacht, yeah, they're going to pay quite a bit of sales tax. You go to the store, you're going to pay the same sales tax as the other guy that buys the same item. I just want everybody to pay into a system that has a social aspect to it.
Well, your position seemed to be much more aligned with your Republican opponent than with your Democratic opponent. Is that a fair statement?
Sure.
Well, let's talk about this convention of states, which is something else you support. You say you're the only candidate who understands and is pushing for a convention of the states under Article 5 of the Constitution. Would you explain what that means and why you're pushing for it?
Well, the Convention of States, George Mason, back when all this was drafted back in the 1800s, they were ready to end a session, and George Mason pointed out that Article 5 didn't have anything in there to make sure that the government didn't get out of control. There had to be something in there for the states to be able to make amendments to the Constitution. Otherwise, those in the federal government would be the only ones that could amend the Constitution, and they could amend it in any way that they want to suit them. So they put this second paragraph in there for the Convention of States, which enables the states to call a Convention of States. It takes 34 states in order to to put the motion in place for a resolution to call a Convention of States. Pennsylvania refuses to support it. I support that. If I was to get in, I would do what I could to get the resolution to the floor and get it passed. Right now, there's 15 states that have joined the movement. There are over 4 million people involved in the Convention of States, so it's gaining ground. What we want to do with the Convention of States is we have a debt spending crisis. We want to get that under control. There is a ceiling on there, but government keeps changing it. The government overreach. The Constitution being rewritten by the Supreme Court. I was watching a thing last night on TV where a guy is pointing out the Constitution. As a matter of fact, it was on the Convention of States, where the guy's pointing out the Constitution, how many words are in the Constitution, and then he brought out this book that God had to be at least 3.5-4 inches thick, of changes that the Supreme Court made on their rulings on issues of the Constitution. We don't want that to occur. We want to go back to the grassroots of the Constitution. And then the third thing that's key in this is career politicians. People that stay in politics far too long end up really falling into line with the corruption that can occur.
Well, one of the ads your opponent is running on behalf of your opponent, I don't think he's paying for it, states that he will fight Governor Wolf's socialist agenda. You think Governor Wolf's a socialist and he has a socialist agenda?
I don't think so. I don't know where he gets that, but all right.
Well, it's not on an ad he's paying for. It's on an ad being paid for by a third party for him.
Hmm.
But you don't think the governor's a socialist. Could you get along with Governor Wolf?
Absolutely, I could. I voted for Governor Wolf when he ran for office. I think he's done a pretty decent job. I think that any individual has a certain amount of, I wouldn't necessarily call it socialism, but liberalism in him. I'm a conservative, but I'm certainly willing to listen to other sides. And if I went that way, they might say I was liberal. Well, not really, just for that particular point.
Some particular issue. Okay, well, just a couple of minutes left. If there's anybody vague on who you are, I'll give you an open mic to do a closing statement and to wrap up our interview to make it 100% clear on who you are and what the issues you support are. So, Claire Moyer, go right ahead.
Well, as a resident of the area, obviously, I'm in Union County, but I reach out to Snyder County as well. I don't overshadow any of them. Now, like I said, I like to have an open door policy. I want the people to come in and talk to me about their issues. I'm the only true conservative running for the 85th District. I will not be bought. I will not accept bribes for favors. I am truthful and I will not lie. I deliver a message that everyone can relate to. And I will not exist were it not for my faith. I believe in a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. It's everybody's responsibility to make sure that remains paramount. And I will do all that I can to bring that to the forefront.
Right. Mm-hmm. On our Sunrise show, you spell this out, C-L-A-I-R space M-O-Y-E-R. You don't want any variations on the spelling.
One of our listeners sends this note in. Mr. Moyer chastised Mr. Rowe for using a derogatory term for the League of Women Voters, so I guess that makes it okay for him to call Mr. Rowe a little boy.
Well, Mr. Rowe made his comments.
Okay, fair enough. And you made yours.
Well, League of Women Voters is a nonprofit organization whose sole purpose is to help out politicians and leaders in the community and voters. Primarily, Mr. Rose entered this in a name-calling fashion, so he sort of lowered the bar in the race, and I guess you slipped under it while you had a brief opportunity there.
I don't like doing that, but I feel I couldn't just let it go totally unignored. I don't know how people are going to view that. I don't like playing those kind of games in politics, but...
And folks got to write your name in. That's how you're going to win this.
Yeah. What people should do is go out to my website. It's the number 2 and then the letters CEME.com. It's easy to remember. Just say 2CME.com and put those letters in. And my entire platform is there. You can print a small business card and make sure you take it to the polls and get my name spelled right.
And throughout Snyder and Union County, you have the same machines in each county or different methods in each county? Have you come across that fact yet?
I have. It's all the same as far as I know. I haven't seen there's anything different.
Okay, so there is a way to write in each particular case.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to push the button that says write in and you type the name. But my first name can be a female as well as a male. If you put an E on the end of my first name, that makes it a female.
So that must be Union County, because in Snyder County, we have a paper ballot, and we can write your name and mark a thing right beside your name if we're voting for you.
Okay. Okay, thanks.
Claire Moyer, candidate. He's a Republican, but he is running as the write-in candidate, a write-in candidate, the 85th District State House race next week, August 20th. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury, 9 a.m.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Joe McGranahan is across from me, as the deep voice man indicated. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is now wide open, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-WKOK. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. We have about a half a dozen emails pending, and we can look through some of those. We have one remark from Friday about the confiscation or registration of guns, so we can read that. And that came in via text message. You can text us at 70236. First half of our program, we did have Claire Moyer here, the write-in candidate in the 85th District State House special election. We are going to issue an invitation to all three candidates. We'll send another invitation to Claire and to David Rowe and to Dr. Jennifer Rager-Kay to come back on our show together before next Tuesday's election. The League of Women Voters of the Lewisburg area has a function with all three candidates invited tomorrow night. Now, Mr. Rowe is not attending, but Mr. Moyer and Dr. Rager-Kay will be there tomorrow night at the East Buffalo Township Municipal Building, so you can check that out. And we've covered some of their previous public events, so you can check those stories out at WKOK.com. Two people are dead after a small plane crash occurred near the Jersey Shore Airport Sunday afternoon. The crash occurred just before 5 p.m. just south of the airport at a tree line at the end of the landing strip. The crash was in Nipponose Township, Lycoming County. A local public safety director there said reporters on the scene saw both the pilot and passenger dead at the scene before first arrived responders got there. No names have been released until families have been notified after that plane crash in Lycoming County. One person was arrested, and troopers are looking for two more suspects after a traffic stop turned into a police chase. In a news release today, Stevens Grove troopers say the incident occurred several weeks ago, July 15th. They are still looking for the driver, 23-year-old Dakota Haynes of Mifflinburg, and one of the passengers, 19-year-old Jessica Camp of Millmont. A third individual in the vehicle, a passenger, Zachary Carl of Mount Carmel, has been arrested, but Haynes and Camp are still being sought after that high-speed chase and escape from troopers. Jeffrey Epstein's apparent suicide in federal custody is provoking skepticism among online conspiracy theorists and even some officials. Republican Senator Rick Scott of Florida urged federal prison officials to say what mistakes or criminal acts could have allowed Epstein to kill himself. Former Mayor Rudy Giuliani, now an attorney for President Trump, questioned whether video surveillance captured Epstein's death. Online theorists, meantime, quickly offered unsubstantiated and sometimes far-fetched alternative explanations. The well-connected financier had been charged with conspiracy and sex trafficking last month. His case had already been prompting speculation, given Epstein's links to President Trump and former President Bill Clinton, and a 2008 deal in Florida that allowed him to plead to soliciting a minor for prostitution to avoid more serious charges. Federal officials say they will investigate that death. And Joe has his own Epstein conspiracy theory that points to someone else, so we'll find out who that is momentarily.
I do?
Well, you're going to have to come up with one. I just outed you, so think of one.
I think you did it.
Okay, there you go. That works. All right, finally, Walmart is removing from all of its stores signs, displays, or videos that depict violence. Following the mass shooting in El Paso, Texas, in a store that killed 22 people, the retailer instructed employees in an internal memo to remove any marketing material, turn off or unplug video game consoles that show violent games, or make sure that no violence is depicted on screens in its electronics departments. Employees were also ordered to turn off hunting season videos in the sporting goods department. Walmart spokesman said Friday Walmart is taking the action out of the respect for the incidents in the past week. No videos or video games that depict violence will be removed from shelves themselves, and there's no change in the company's policy regarding gun sales. So the depictions of violence will be removed, whether video or on a sign, but the video games that might have a violent image in them and the guns themselves at Walmart still for sale. I think Walmart already stopped selling AR-type 15 rifles, that sort of thing.
Yes.
Alrighty. Well, that should solve this problem.
You think so?
No. Thank you for asking. All right. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. It's open phones. We had Claire Moyer here earlier, and our first caller of the week would like to discuss that. Mike, thank you so much for calling in. You are on the mark.
Yeah. First of all, I want to say that I do not live in the district of the special election, but I love listening to your show, and I enjoyed listening to Claire. However, there is one thing that caused me pause. You know, hey, he sounds like a guy I'd love to have a cup of coffee with at Dunkin' Donuts in the morning, you know. But when he said that he voted for Tom Wolf, and I assume that he did when he said that, and that he was in line with some of the things that Governor Wolf wanted to do, that caused me to really question his motives here, because this is the truth as far as I'm concerned. Tom Wolf won his first term as governor when he ran on the big lie, and that big lie was that Tom Corbett cut government spending on public education in Pennsylvania by $1 billion, and that was just not true. And so he's supporting the guy that ran on a big lie, and that guy, Claire, he's been around a long time. He's got a lot of common sense, and he should understand that, and that if he's willing to support Tom Wolf, I don't think that he could be trusted as a representative in that district down there when he says he's a Republican, but he's willing to go out and do that. And the reason that I say this disqualifies him is because right now, and this is kind of like, you're going to think I'm changing the subject a little bit, but right now, people like myself who voted for Donald Trump and intend to vote for him again as things stand, people like me are being painted as white nationalist, racist, whether they're super racist people, and that is a big lie. And to me, the Democrats are willing to do anything they can to win right now. You know, by calling people like me who have a biracial family, people like me who were willing to adopt children that aren't white and try to adopt black children. And it hurts me to think that they're willing to do that, and that they're willing to do that, and I think they would do anything. So I really think that this gentleman's support of Tom Wolf disqualifies him as the representative on the Republican side in his special election. Even though he's not running as a Republican, I'm not going to question his intentions, but the reality is he will take votes away from the Republican. And that's why I think... Go ahead.
I was going to say, I did ask him if Claire Moyer can't win, who would he like to see win? And his answer was he really didn't care who won. He did repeat that.
If it
weren't him, he didn't care, right? But earlier, when I asked him if his policies were more aligned with the Republican candidate than the Democrat, he agreed. So I was a little surprised that he didn't say, "Well, I'd like prefer the Republican candidate to win if I can't."
You know, I'm in a loud area right now, so I did miss that. And to me, that's shocking that he could not say, "Hey, he said he was a conservative. So if I can't win, I want to see the Republican win." You know, that's just shocking. And I mean, it's good politics, but he's trying to run as an honest man. And if he was running as an honest man, he would have stated that.
Well, in all honesty, it was kind of an unfair question, but I thought it was a valid one just because he is being accused of trying to siphon off votes from the Republican candidate.
Oh, exactly. And the Republicans the Democrats have a history of this. And the last thing I want to say, he said his name is spelled that it could be a man's name or a woman's name. And I'm not questioning the voters down in the 85th, but there's a lot of people that go to the polls, and it's understandable. They'll look at two names, and if one of them's a woman, they'll vote for a woman. In fact, I've done that myself. In position for judges, okay? I decided, hey, I'd rather see a woman as the judge as opposed to the man. So it looks like we're going to have a woman down there and a man down there and a man running with a woman's name. So I think that's going to add to the uphill fight for the Republican.
Well, you know, you have to write him in. He's a write-in candidate. His name actually isn't on the ballot, and you'd have to add an E to the end of his name for it to be the girl's name, he said.
Again, I stand corrected, and I appreciate that, Mark. Or Joe, whoever that was.
That was me, Joe.
Okay, yeah, no, I appreciate standing corrected on that, yes.
All right, thank you
listen,
so much.
Hey, listen, some other people call in. This is a very enjoyable show here. I can't wait to hear what others have to say.
All right, thank you so much.
Thanks for calling, Mike.
Yeah, that's how you know I'm a bad interview. I let somebody answer a question and say, he's a conservative Republican, says he voted for Governor Wolf, and I never went back and said, what? That's how you know I'm not good at this. All right, Lance, thank you for waiting a short time. You are on the mark.
Well, anyway, you know, our governor was adjudged by the Atlantic as being the most liberal governor in the entire United States. And he's up against some pretty heady competition. But he was. And I think that's enough to disqualify him from,
Really? I mean, who's the competition? Because I don't think Governor Wolf comes across as really a wild-eyed radical or anything close to it.
I understand that, but see, when they apparently quizzed him about his, if he were king, what would he do? He's the guy that came out on top.
Hmm.
Yeah. And you think of the governor of New York and Governor Moonbeam and everybody,
Well, I don't believe he's more liberal than Governor Cuomo. I just don't.
Well, according to them, he was.
Well, okay.
You can probably Google up the article.
I'll do that.
Yeah, I thought it was rather amazing that he was. Also here, I thought it was something that they were at a winery debating about, of course, firearms. When, the public health hazard and all that. Well, if you look at it, we have 235 people dying every day from alcohol and 96 from guns. So which is the public health hazard? They're both public health hazards, you look at it like that, but which is the worst?
You always manage to bring it back to alcohol.
Well, it's true, though. This is what I'm saying is, I mean, it's all over the place. And to use the criterion that everybody does about our firearms, why, that's horrible. I mean, we have proliferation of guns, right? And we have a proliferation of alcohol. And if you use the same criterion, why, the more you have, the more problem you have, correct?
Well, Mr. Moyer supports the Second Amendment right to bear arms. He was unequivocal about that.
Yeah, with no new changes in laws.
I understand that, but how in the world could you vote for Wolf and support that? That's what I mean.
Well, a lot of people wanted Corbett out. If you'll think back, there's a reason Corbett's a one-termer. A lot of maybe voted for Governor Wolf because Corbett was the incumbent Republican. Folks didn't want him there.
Well, our earlier caller had it right on the mark because of that money that Governor Rendell spent on education that Governor Corbett couldn't reproduce. It was a one-time, here-and-gone amount of money, and Governor Rendell spent it on education. Governor Corbett didn't have it to spend. But the Democrats used it against him, like he cut funding to education.
Yeah. Well, that's there. Why, you know, we saw the, just recently on the news, matter of fact, I think it was the half-hour news, where they talked about this outfit that is making backpacks out of ballistic cloth.
Right, they're bulletproof backpacks, they call them, for kids.
Right, uh-huh. And in 27 years, 150 kids were killed at school, right? In 27 years.
Here we go. Compared to how many at the hands of a drunk?
Well, if you're figuring the 4,400 a year altogether that are killed, that would be over 20 years, how much, 80,000, something like that?
Yeah, if you match the 4,400
every
year.
If we take it just drunken drivers, it takes drunken drivers 8 months to kill 150 kids under the age of 14. 8 months. So if you take it, the whole deal of 12 per day die from alcohol under 21. Okay, that's like 4,400 a year. Now, seven people under the age of 21 die every day, one way or another, from guns. Either they commit suicide, and that includes all those horrible, horrible drug wars we have in our cities with the kids and the gangs. But then, like I said, it's 12 per day per alcohol, and I mean, it's just really crazy.
Okay.
So we got misplaced priorities. All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
Lance. Appreciate the call. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We'll take a break, but we invite you to call us. Alcohol injected into our discussion. Claire Moyer, the individual that is the writing candidate, was here earlier. If you have more thoughts about his candidacy, all the rest of our emails relate to guns and the President of the United States of America, and we'll read those emails and texts also this morning. But we'd love to include you in our discussion. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565. We will be right back.
A lot of things will change over the next 6 years, but not the interest rate on your new Kia. In 2025, you'll still be at 0%.
We wanna see you.
In fact, your interest rate will stay at 0% for more than 6 years. 75 months. Come into Sunbury Motors Kia now for 0% financing for up to 75 months on select 2019 Kia Optimas, Sportages, Cadenzas, Sedonas, and the 2019 Kia Sorento.
Great for getting you through the Central PA terrain.
See for yourself why Kia offers America's best value with an industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Hurry into Sunbury Motors Kia now to get 0% financing for up to 75 months. These rates won't last past the end of the month, so get in today. Value is back at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf.
Offers available to qualified buyers through KMF financing in lieu of rebate. That expires D31/19. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty.
Welcome back. KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the mark. 1-800-795-9565. Huey Lewis in the news, playing the bumper music. Mac, oh, we should tell we have
Matt's over there today.
Yes, Rob Sanders got the whole week off.
Oh,
a little R&R for him, so well deserved. I hope
got to take good care of Dixie while he's gone.
Well, yeah, Dixie.
She had a little health issue,
but is on the way back. But Rob and his lovely bride are taking good care of the good dog. Yeah, I haven't seen Dixie in a while. He hasn't been around my house.
She
hasn't been around in 2 weeks or so. So,
well, let's talk a little bit about what's going on. You know, I asked Mr. Rowe, is the Republican Party united behind him? And his answer was yes, that the party's united. Mm. But then the letter from Mr. Baylor appeared in the paper where he spelled out the problems with the conferee process, including the fact that it wasn't exactly an unbiased group of conferees from Union County. Supposedly it included Mr. Rowe's father, which is a little unusual. Typically you try to appoint people who are, you know, have some semblance of objectivity about the candidates. I think it was terribly unfair that the two other candidates weren't given an opportunity to speak.
Well, so it is an unfair process, but, you know, one could argue that it's just to pick somebody for 1 year, and then they get, you know, to fill the unexpired term, then they get to run.
But they still have the advantage of incumbency.
They hundreds of advantages. They get the office. Their name's going to be all over the place.
They're going to have a chance to make news, because every time they vote on something, it'll be a story.
Right. They send out, they're going to be using the PR machine down there, that multi-billion dollar PR machine down there in Harrisburg that the lawmakers use to keep them elected, that they'll be using that to send out thousands of news releases and to explain what their daily goings and tos and froms are all about. Well, and potentially, they could also do some good.
Well, Mr. Baylor's letter was very interesting. Did you read it?
Yes, I did.
And this morning, I guess there were three letters to the editor, one from Mr. Moyer, one from Pat Morolo, who is the former Republican sheriff of Union County, basically saying that everything Mr. Moyer said was absolutely correct. And then there was a letter from Congressman Keller unequivocally endorsing Mr. Rowe for the position.
So you have anything but a bottom line, all the way back to your original statement a minute ago. It's that the your Republican Party is not united on this. Lawrence's worthless view is that all this division won't hurt anything, that there's enough uninformed Republicans out there that they'll see a Republican on the ballot and they'll vote for him.
So we're just dummies. We're just marching along in lockstep, staring straight ahead.
Actually, just the opposite. I think if you could reach them, you could inform them of this division and what has happened. And I think in that case, most smart Republicans would change their view if they had a fully informed opinion. But it's hard to get the word out, you know, to people. You almost have to go door to door, give them a piece of paper, say, you know, this is what has happened in this particular race.
Okay.
And so what other information do you want?
Let's be honest about this. I mean, I think if the other viable candidate in terms of getting nominated or getting someone to put his name in nomination was Ben Rank, who apparently originally was endorsed by Congressman Keller because Mr. Rank was kind of like his chief of staff or, you know, very high up in his organization. But then he didn't get the nomination. Now, if Mr. Rank had decided to run as a write-in candidate, you know, instead of Mr. Moyer, that might be a different story. But Mr. Moyer does have certain problems. His age is certainly one thing that people would take into consideration, because I think that if we've learned anything, we've learned that having a representative in Harrisburg for an extended period of time is a benefit. I mean, whether you like it or not, over the years, we've had some longevity in our representatives. Russ Fairchild and Merle Phillips both were there for periods of time and had some seniority. Fred Keller had some seniority, and Linda Culver has it now. And we benefit from having that seniority. Representative Culver's on the Transportation Committee, which is a big help to us in this area. So, I mean, we want to send somebody there who I think will gain some traction in terms of their ability to produce results for their district.
Well, and I think this is a rare opportunity, really, for individuals to get somebody down there that will be a super placeholder for 1 year, then open this up to everybody who wants to run next year, circulate petitions, do the whole thing. So, and maybe the media has a role in this to say that this is the, you know, every time we introduce interim or, you know, the 1 year state representative, Jennifer Rager Kay, or one-year State Representative David Rowe, or one-year State Representative Claire Moyer, that we make it clear that this individual's just a placeholder to fill the unexpired term.
That would be great if they did that, if they picked
every
a candidate
single time.
Who would agree that since there's so little time left, that I will not seek the office.
Oh, well, that's another topic I wasn't even addressing. Yeah, that's another, a lot of offices you do see that, you know, especially where, less so when the electorate is doing the selection, but more so when a judge is picking somebody. We've seen this for county commissioner races,
yes,
around
have.
Here, where the judge says, I'll only appoint an interim commissioner who will not run.
What happened in Snyder County?
Because they don't want that incumbency, you know, those perks of incumbency to apply to them. They don't want their name carved into the benches outside the courthouse like they used to do in Northumberland County. I don't think the current board does that, but the old one did. You know, the Swelina Lewis.
Can always be brought back.
The Swelina Lewis bench is located right outside the courthouse. All right, well, we'll take some more callers on this topic. Lance mentioned booze, and that led to an email that was come in. Last week, we talked about gun registration. That led to a text. Somebody mentioned Donald Trump in the past 76 hours, so we have an email that has the word Trump and Epstein in the same email. So we'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565 is the phone number. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarket@kok.com, and you can text us at 70236. Joe, we'll let you address the correspondence of your choice.
Well, Stan starts off by saying, instead of arguing about whether guns or alcohol take more lives, wouldn't it be more productive to say both take too many lives and let's work on both of the problems? Gee, Than, I agree with you. Something's wrong here. Let's reset the whole program.
It's bizarro.
Right, it's bizarro world. It's upside down world.
You go out to Than's in a couple weeks.
Well, Than and I agree more often than we disagree on something.
Delete that email.
Oh,
delete
yes, I will. I don't like to delete Than.
There you go.
All right. Ignore him, yes. Delete
He's
him.
He's not eliminating him altogether. Last week, we had one of our good callers suggested that we could solve some of our gun problems if we had registration of guns, that all of the hundreds of millions of handguns and rifles would suddenly become registered. Now, handguns already are, but rifles are not. So that means all the muzzleloaders out there, all the rifles.
Did you hear Kamala Harris's proposal over the weekend? Federal gun registration for every gun.
Oh, okay. All right. So now she's talking about that. And so Chris thought that could be one of those common sense things that we do that would make us safer. To that end, Stan replied with a text.
Gun registration is the first step to confiscation. Let's register Chris's speech and make sure he isn't spreading hate.
Okay. All right, so at this moment, we still have free speech in the U.S., although you never know how that's going to work out. So that's some of our correspondence that we've received so far. And an email with the word Epstein in it. Go ahead, Joe.
Our friend E.B. sends this one in. He says, it was a big weekend for Donald Trump. First, he essentially, and without a shred of evidence, accused the Clintons of murdering his good friend Jeffrey Epstein by retweeting a conspiracy theory that blames them for his death. Then he repeatedly retweeted Katie Hopkins, the British far-right activist who has compared migrants to cockroaches and called for a final solution for Muslims. Final solution? Where have we heard that term before? Trump has retweeted her many times in the last few months, so he presumably shares her views on many things. But please, tell us more about how Trump isn't racist and is fit for office, because it sounds to me like he's a horrible racist who continues to disgrace America every second of every day.
Well, define fit. I mean, we've had racist presidents in the past. We have
one
now.
Quite a few of them.
But they're fit. I mean, they're eligible. They
There's
fit
probably
the
no bigger racist than Woodrow Wilson, and he was a fairly successful president.
Okay, so, and one could argue President Trump is fairly successful.
And you could argue Lyndon Johnson was a racist at one point in his life. That doesn't mean that they aren't capable people.
And why did he compromise on civil rights? Refresh my memory on that.
President Johnson?
Mm-hmm.
I think he had an epiphany primarily. I mean, He wanted to enhance the legacy of President Kennedy, so he took on getting something done that Kennedy couldn't, which was the Voting Rights Act of 1964.
Okay. 1-800-795-9565. Another letter. Is this from a different individual? So go right ahead.
This is from Duffy, who says, "Interesting program on Friday. Many of us, like Dan, brought our guns to school in the 60s and 70s, kept them in the car, and hunted prior to and after classes. There obviously has been a culture change. You didn't hurt people because it was wrong. It was a sin. Bess Parker and Dan Blocker and the Beaver never intentionally hurt anyone. Now the form of entertainment people have is constantly challenging values that have been diluted by violence, created violence viewed, and violence accepted as simple standard procedure. No moms against abortion, no moms against mortal combat, no moms against teenage pregnancy, no moms demand no cell phone addiction, no moms demand kids in church, or moms demand no John Wick 4. Eliminating the Second Amendment will simply bring more death." That's a good point. There is no moms against mortal combat, no moms against teenage pregnancy. Have you ever heard of those groups?
Well, no, but it doesn't mean they don't exist.
But we do have moms against for common sense gun control.
Moms demand action for gun sense in America.
So we should have moms demand no teenage pregnancy.
Eliminating the Second Amendment will simply bring more death. Well, yeah, nobody's talking about eliminating the Second Amendment.
Well, I think it's coming pretty close when you have Kamala Harris arguing in favor of national gun registration, which is not going to be very popular with anyone who supports the Second Amendment.
No, I think that'll hurt her campaign.
Well, it will. But, you know, then people are saying that President Trump and the Republicans are in the pockets of the NRA. But I think the NRA is going to wind up getting its fingers burned on this issue.
Well, you see, here's the rub. If you say NRA, you're talking about two things. One is this Wayne LaPierre, who's, you know, people perceive him as arrogant and controlling lawmakers, controlling the president. And that is one thing.
And they were going to buy him a $6 million mansion because he wanted it. I can't believe that.
There's that. That's the one aspect of this. But when you say NRA, the other aspect of this is there are millions and millions of members. I don't know how many members there are. It's probably 30 million of them.
30 million?
It's the people. It's the people who are the members of the NRA that you're talking about. So I think if you're saying, well, the NRA does want this or doesn't want that, don't think of Wayne LaPierre. Think of the millions of people.
But who speaks for the NRA? Wayne LaPierre?
Well, yeah, the leaders do, and that gives it a bad name. But the fact of the matter is that they won't let any gun law get changed without putting up a big fight if it's going to in any way infringe on our rights. So that's who they're standing up for. So again, you talk about the NRA. If the NRA informs all of their constituents to not vote for President Trump because he's interested in expanding background checks now, that's going to go a long way for hurting the president when it comes re-election time.
Well, suppose there was a National Drunk Drivers Alliance among people who want to be able to go out and have a few beers and drive their cars around. And they had a paid mouthpiece like Wayne LaPierre standing out there saying, this is a wonderful thing. We're not going to let anybody take our beer out of our hand and our steering wheel out of the other hand. Would you think that would be a very responsible position?
No.
Well, and I think the NRA's position or absolute, abhorrence of considering anything that changes the status quo, I think that harms them. I mean, I'm a big fan of letting people have their guns, and I don't own one. But I still think there have to be some things we can do to cut down on violence, and it may involve making a few concessions here and there. I still don't see why assault rifles, we had that ban on them for, 10 years?
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody hurt? Anybody, you know, didn't have their hunting during that time?
Couldn't hunt or something?
Right. I mean, was there any adverse impact from that?
It made it harder for individuals who wished to piece to cobble together an AR-15. Took them a lot longer to do so. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we got a caller standing by who is with the Union County Republican Committee and can explain their process in greater detail and some of the division that seems to have popped up. So we'll take Carolyn Connor's call momentarily, and we will be right back. Thank you so much for joining us here on WKOK Sunrise. Mark Lawrence here.
No, this isn't Sunrise. This is On the Mark.
She's On the Mark. Yeah, thank you. Sorry, I'm a little distracted here. Carolyn Connor is standing by, president of the Union County Republican Committee. Thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate your input.
Hi, Mark. Actually, I'm chair, not president.
Okay.
The chair is a more favorable title, given that I'm elected and I serve at the discretion of the committee and the people from Union County. President just sounds like I have a lot of authority, and I really don't have as much as that might be. So I want to respond, though, to what seems to be a small group of people who are trying to spread confusion. I really don't think that when Republicans understand the process without having a lot of added information that is inaccurate and untrue, that they will be concerned about the way we chose our nominee and what's happening here in Union and Snyder counties. You know, I am concerned that Hank Baylor and Pat Morullo, who both have a history of divisiveness and support of Democrat candidates, are out there writing letters to the editors about things that they know to be untrue. I mean, in Ms. Morullo's case, she is a former county chair. She served on the county or on the state committee, which has the rules in place for how we pick candidates as well, and in through the nomination process, as well as how many people are chosen as conferees in each case. She was on state committee, and during the time that she was county chair here, the rules were exactly the same as they are now. That section of the rules has not been changed for several decades. So she knows very well that the prisoners in Allenwood and Lewisburg have absolutely nothing to do with the determination of numbers, that it is simply based on the number of votes that were cast for President Trump in either of the counties in the last election. And Union County happened to have more votes for President Trump than Snyder County did in 2016.
Okay, well, that's how you capture the number of delegates or number of representatives to the conference. But how about how you pick those representatives?
Yeah, I'm happy to speak to that, because the county chairs under the state bylaws make the decision on who is appointed. And in my case, I can't speak for Nick into how, you know, what the process took him in terms of time and a list, but in my case, I had quite a few people on my list, and I started working down a list, and we had a lot of people who either were unavailable because of the timing or were unwilling to because of some of the, you know, foreseen issues here. You know, we had a situation where we had two county committeemen who were announced candidates, and so certainly we had some people who shied away from having to make an open decision because of that. You know, they didn't really want to be taking sides and causing disharmony. You know, it's kind of unfortunate, because while some people were very cautious about causing disharmony, here we have it coming from all sides, and not people who are part of the committee who have reached out to become informed. I mean, seriously, Claire or no one has ever asked me about the bylaws or to see a copy of the bylaws. You know, so I think that leads me probably into the issue that has been pointed out, that John Rowe was a conferee, and of course he was a conferee. He and Pat Saylor in Snyder County were both conferees, and the primary reason is that they are the directly elected state committee members from their respective counties. The Republican voters in each county get to directly choose their state committeemen, and John Rowe has been elected and reelected multiple times from Union County at the will of the Republican voters. By that status of having that position and the confidence of the voters, he of course was going to be a conferee as well as Pat Saylor.
But since his son was involved, should he not have abstained from voting?
Well, I think that would be to say that John can't be fair. He can't be someone who assesses well. And, you know, I guess every individual would have to make that decision on their own and whether they think that that's a problem. But, you know, he's directly elected, and the voters of Union County have put their confidence in him. And it's a standard, you know, it's a standard situation where if you're a state committeeman, you know, by that position, you are a conferee.
But don't you think it's unusual that the 9 members of Union County and the 8 members of Snyder County voted in lockstep for opposing candidates? Shouldn't there have been some kind of crossover, like maybe 2 from Union County and 6 from Snyder County voted one way and the rest voted another way?
Well, you might think so, but it is interesting, you know, when you bring that up, that, you know, one of the candidates from Union County could not get a vote from Union County. People who know him best did not, he couldn't pick one vote off. And, you know, I suspect I know exactly what the reason is. You know, it comes down to his less than strong pro-life stance in a county that is extremely pro-life. But you know, the real issue here is that the conferees had plenty of time to speak to all these candidates, and I know Claire Moyer says, well, you know, they didn't give him time to speak. Well, they did give him time to speak. I know that he spoke to quite a few of our conferees as well as the Snyder County conferees, and what he's neglecting to say is they didn't buy into what he was saying. It isn't a matter of whether he had the opportunity to actually talk to them. So, look, this process is exactly the same process that is used in every special election across the state. The state party, under its bylaws, runs the nomination process. It approves the delegates. It chairs the nomination conference. Neither Nick or I or anybody in either county had anything to do with how the process ran that night. It properly certifies the nomination. It's exactly the same process that was used to select Fred Keller as the Republican nominee for Congress.
What, in what way is Claire Moyer not exclusively pro-life that you're aware of?
No, I did not say Claire wasn't pro-life.
So somebody
said
else.
One of the other candidates.
Just checking to clarify that. Okay, fabulous. Are you disappointed that this has turned into such a brouhaha when it should have been easy? This should have been a little asterisk in the Republicans' life in Union County.
Well, you know, I really still think it's a small group trying to spread a lot of confusion. We just spent the week at the West End Fair, and I don't think there's nearly as much confusion on the ground as, you know, we might think listening to the radio or reading the newspaper. You know, the only people calling into question this process are two of the announced candidates for the nomination who didn't win the nomination. The fourth candidate for the nomination is fully supportive of David Rowe. All the delegates, I know that we're saying it was a 9-8 vote, but you need to remember they came back and made it a unanimous vote. And since then, every single one of the conferees has been supporting David Rowe unanimously. Congressman Keller obviously supports and is campaigning hard and has endorsed David Rowe. You know, the Republican Party is supporting David Rowe. And what we saw at the fair and what David is seeing at the doors and what my dozens of callers who are making calls for him are hearing from people is that, you know, the average Republicans across the district are united behind David Rowe.
Let me ask you this question. You have said that Mr. Baylor and Ms. Morello are apparently out there questioning this process, and they obviously are familiar with it. What do they have to gain? Aren't they Republicans? Don't they support Republican candidates?
Oh, well, they both have a long history of supporting candidates who are not serious Republicans. You know, so if you look at Hank in the EBT, you would find that he has been supportive of Democrats in his local government. Pat Morullo has long time been a quasi-Republican, and she has supported people like Arlen Specter during the time that he's transitioning to be a Democrat and while her own party was trying to either get him to change or change his party registration. So, you know, without getting into a bunch of internal things even related to their time on committee, you know, I'm not surprised. I do believe that there is a fight broadly, not just here, for the heart and soul of the Republican Party, and conservatism is offensive to some people.
So you feel that they're not going to vote for David? They're going to, in fact, vote for either Claire or his opponent, Dr. Rager?
I have no idea who they're going to vote for. I would say that if someone comes out publicly supporting someone, that I would hope that the candidate can count on that vote. I mean, you know, whoever you are, if anyone tells Jen Rake or Kay that they're going to vote for her, then I hope that they keep their word, as I would hope that anyone would keep their word if they told the same thing to David or to Claire Moyer.
Who's going to win next Tuesday?
Who's going to win next Tuesday? Well, of course, I really believe that David is going to win. He's done the hard work. He's done thousands of doors. We've made thousands of phone calls. He has made voter contacts beyond belief. He has been one of the hardest working candidates that I have ever seen, and I have a pretty extensive experience in ground game campaigning across the state and in several other states. And so I think that in all cases, when a candidate actually gets out there and meets the people, that's where the decision is made.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to win because.
Well, we have to stop here. We're out of time.
Just one quick question.
Oh, Joe,
we asked Mr. Rowe when he was on the program if the Republican Party was united, and he said it was. Do you feel it's united?
Oh, absolutely. There's not one committeeman in Union County or one committeeman in Snyder County who have expressed any concern or doubt about David's candidacy. We are definitely united. We are excited to get a Republican back into Fred Keller's seat and have good representation for the things that matter in Snyder and Union County.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your call. Keep in touch.
Thank
We're glad
you,
to hear from you, Carolyn. Come and visit us sometime. These are all important topics we're discussing. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Take care.
I think we got a very clear picture of what's happening in Union and Snyder County, particularly Union County, but in that 85th district. We'll take a quick break. Oh, we will be right back.
A lot of things will change over the next 6 years, but not the interest rate on your new Kia. In 2025, you'll still be at 0%.
We want to see you.
In fact, your interest rate will stay at 0% for more than 6 years. 75 months! Come into Sunbury Motors Kia now for 0% financing for up to 75 months on select 2019 Kia Optimas, Sportages, Cadenzas, Sedonas, and the 2019 Kia Sereno.
Great for getting you through the Central PA terrain.
See for yourself why Kia offers America's best value with an industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Hurry into Sunbury Motors Kia now to get 0% financing for up to 75 months. These rates won't last past the end of the month, so get in today. Value is back at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf.
Offers available to qualified buyers through KMF financing in lieu of rebate. That expires E3119. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty.
Welcome back to KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. We are so glad that we have a sponsor, SunburyMotors.com, the Sunbury Motor Company, selling Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln, are our sponsor. But there's so much more than new car dealers. Yes, if you need a new Ford or a new Hyundai or a new Kia or a new Lincoln, especially that Kia Telluride, top-rated at Consumer Reports. Read that review. Holy smokes, they love that new vehicle. But anyway, they are also at the Sunbury Motor Company, a premier service provider for all makes of cars and trucks. They got the quick lane, plus they got the great big truck garage. They can save you a big fat pile of money, and they would just love to take good care of you. They have a car wash. They can pump you up with nitrogen. They got the quick lane. They got the car wash, and they can pump you up with nitrogen. And they can have an alignment shop, and they have a body shop. And I'll tell you what, it just doesn't get any better than that. So please shop the Sunbury Motor Company. They will help you out. They've been giving competitive and money-saving deals to people for a century or more than a century, for 100 years. Smart people have gone down to the Sunbury Motor Company and say, look, I'm not paying too much for my Ford, and it's worked out. So you can be on that long list of individuals. Probably millions of people have been to the Sunbury Motor Company and are happy for it. Sunbury Motors. .com. Well, we have a half a dozen emails, texts, and letters pending, so we'll look through those tomorrow. One does relate to our conversation about the state house.
Yes, Bob says, good morning. The fact that a Republican would stand by Governor Wolf because he is conservative goes to show he believes Republicans are not conservative. Trump has put our country in more debt in 1 month than President Obama in one full year. Time to clean the swamp. I think you got that a little bit wrong, Bob. I think he said he is a conservative, but he supported Governor Wolf, not that he thought Governor Wolf was a conservative.
We'll have to ask, I'll send him a note and ask him why he supported Governor Wolf one time, and that might help our audience. Thank you very much, folks. Very much appreciated. Thanks for being on the radio to our guest, Claire Moyer, who was here. He and the rest of the candidates will be invited back. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WDKOK Sunbury. We'll see you tomorrow on WDKOK's On the Mark program.